we think of Jesus coming as a baby. And so many times, you know, we have our mangers up and we see that baby in the manger. I am so glad that when Jesus came as flesh to the earth, he didn't stay that baby in a manger. He lived and he died. He experienced everything, every pain, every sorrow that we would have in our life so that he could acquaint himself with what we are going through. I am so glad that he died and didn't stay dead. He lives so that we can face tomorrow, so that we have a hope and a future in him. I'm so glad it's more, so much more than just that Christmas story that we celebrate. When I think of how he came so far from glory, and that's what I'm going to sing this morning. It's funny, as I've gotten older, my voice has changed so much. I feel like I'm singing in the basement compared to what I used to do. So I have to change keys on all my songs. When I think of how he came so far from glory, came and dwelt among the lonely, such as I, to suffer shame and such disgrace. On Mount Calvary, take my place. Then I ask myself this question: who am I? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will, thine for? The answer I may never know, why he me so, that to an old rugged cross he would go, for who am I? I'm reminded of his words, I'll leave thee never. Just be true, I'll give to you life forever. I wonder what I could have done to deserve God's only Son, to fight my battle until they're won. For who am I? Oh, who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will, thine for? The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so, that to an old rugged cross he'd go for who am I? Oh, who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will, thine for? The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so, that to an old rugged cross he'd go. For who am I?
Turn with me this morning to John 14, 1 through 6. Amen. We can't do everything, but we can do something. And the something that we do matters to the person that we do it for. Sometimes it makes an eternal difference. So whatever God prompts you to do, be obedient and let him use you. I want to talk to you this morning on living trouble-free in troubled times. John chapter 14, starting with verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Mass shootings. Every week, it seems like. Bomb threats. Inflation out of control, news reports of food shortages, wars and rumors of wars, crime and corruption in government from Arusa County all the way to Washington and around the world, censorship and twisting of facts by the media so we don't know what to believe. For some of us of a previous generation, we wonder whatever happened to Walter Cronkite or Huntley and Brinkley. Where can we turn? Who can be trusted? Where and when will all of this craziness come to an end? Our text this morning shows us that we can turn to Jesus in troubled times, and he will help us to live trouble-free in this messed up world. Do you believe that? I do. Let's see what Jesus is telling us in this text, because I believe it offers to us hope and comfort in the day we're living in. Verse 1, we see his dissertation. Let me read it to you again. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Did you hear that? Don't be troubled. How can he say that with everything that's going on in the world around us? It's not just troubling, it's terrifying times that we're living in. When we were there in New York, we heard the report that first came out that there was a bomb let off at one of the borders. We found out later It was a vehicle that ran the border and hit part of the crossing, flipped it, and it burst into flames and burned up. But how many of you know that we hear the reports all the time of absolute craziness, and it's not just far, far away? It's creeping up into Arusa County. How could Jesus say that? He's the master of the wind and the waves. He's the sovereign ruler and controller of all things. He could say, don't let your heart be troubled, because he understands that this world is in his hands and that the outcome will be what he determines, not anyone else. To those living in troubled times, he goes on to say, trust in God, trust also in me. How could he say that? Well, in John chapter 14, verse 9, Jesus gave this revelation to his disciples. He said, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. And if you read that passage, I think that's when they picked up stones, the Jews, to stone him, because they understood that he was claiming equality with God. He can say, don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me, because he was and is one with the Father. In John chapter 10, verse 30, Jesus spoke these powerful words. I and the Father are one. I want you to think about that. Not two gods, but one God. One all-powerful God, Father and Jesus. One all-knowing God, the Father and Jesus. One eternally existing and unchanging God, the Father and Jesus. One all-loving God. Hallelujah. So anything you can trust the Father for, Jesus was saying, you can trust me for, because we are one. What a powerful thing. Did you ever stop and realize that the Jesus you surrendered your life to when you bowed your knee to accept him as the only one who could forgive you of your sins, cleanse your heart, and set you on a new path, is the one who is equal with the Father? Yeah, not just a little baby in a manger, but the one who is equal with God, who could claim equality with God without a bit of boasting or pride, because he was simply speaking the truth. What a powerful, powerful statement that was. What is Jesus telling us in this passage of Scripture? I believe what he's telling us is that our faith in God will take care of us. Did you hear that? Our faith in God will take care of us. So, take care of your faith. Because your faith will take care of you. Consider the reality of this. If our faith will take care of us, then we need faith from the time Jesus left the disciples till the time that he returns. And if we take care of our faith will take care of us through that whole time frame. We're alive towards the end of time when Jesus is coming soon. We don't know how soon. But even for us, it's been a long time. And we don't know how much longer it will be. But mark my words, our faith in God will take care of us from here through the rest of this journey till the trumpet sounds. Amen. Take care of your faith, and it will take care of you. Pastor, do you really feel that strongly about that? I do. Because there are passages of Scripture that make this very, very clear to us. Take time to go with me to Isaiah 43. I'm going to read verses 1, 2, and 3. Prophet Isaiah 43, verses 1, 2, and 3. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Hallelujah. Take care of your faith, and your faith will take care of you. And then there's another passage of Scripture that I got a wake-up revelation concerning. And it kind of tickled me at first, but it really blessed me and ministers to me on a regular basis. This one is in Psalm 37, verse 25. And I'm going to back up and read a lead-in verse to this, going back to verse 23. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. And here's the verse I wanted. I was young, and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. Hallelujah. Why? Because our faith will take care of us. So it's important for you and I to make sure that we examine ourselves, to make sure daily we are in the faith. Can you say amen? So you see, coming to church is not just this incidental little exercise that we go through. It's something that's vitally critical to us. Because when we come here, we are taking care of our faith. We are encouraging one another. We are exhorting one another. We are fellowshipping with one another. We are worshiping God together. We are hearing things from the Scripture that help us. And these are vital things that God's given to us to help us take care of our faith so that we're strong and our faith can take care of us. Hallelujah. What a powerful, powerful little passage of Scripture. Most of the time we read this, it's at a funeral service or a graveside committal. But this is a passage that gives us comfort and hope every time we read it. In verse 2, he talked about his departure. Let's go back there. My father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? Here, he promised that he was going away. And you know what? He did. Did you catch that? He said he was going to do something, and he did what he said he was going to do. You know, when we know somebody and they give us their word on something, and then they come good on their word, what does that do with that person? It builds their credibility. It lets us know that that person can be trusted. Amen. So here we see Jesus promised that he would go away, and he did. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1, because it gives us the record of when he went away. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, and in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth." And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking up into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Hallelujah. Listen to me very carefully. His going away was the guarantee of his coming back. Did you catch? If I go away, I will come again. His going away was the guarantee that he's coming back. He said he would go. He did. He said he would come back, and he will. Hallelujah. Hope and comfort in the words of Scripture. In the midst of troubling times, wars and rumors of wars, all kinds of turmoil and craziness creeping in even into our neighborhoods. And quiet little caribou, northern Maine, huh? Sleepy, yeah. We saw more people in the traffic jams on I-84 than live in the entire state of Maine. Yeah. And I dare say more people came in on the entry ramp to the bumper-to-bumper traffic than there are cars in the city of Caribou. And I'm thinking, oh, I wish I had a tank. Push them out of the way and get where I need to go. Hello? That was a carnal thought, but I have those once in a while. I didn't buy a tank. I don't have access to a tank. So I was very mild-mannered. I didn't beat my horn at anybody. Didn't raise my fist at anyone. Just patiently. Okay. 4 hours later, we were about 20 miles further down the road. 4 hours. I didn't calculate it, but in 4 hours, you could walk a good part of 20 miles. Yeah. What are you saying from this passage of Scripture? Jesus promised to come back, and he will. What does that have to do with troubled times? It lets us know that this life, with all of its problems and trouble, is not going to go on forever. That Jesus will return just as he promised, and when he does, it changes everything for time and eternity. And it'll change it in such a powerful fashion that we'll stop even thinking about all the junk we put up with before we got there. Because the glory that we're going to share is going to be absolutely overwhelming. He promised to come back, and he will. But how long? How long will he be gone? I can't tell you that. But I can show you a passage of Scripture that gives us some indication of this. Turn to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. And we're going to start at verse 14. It's the parable of the talents. Matthew 25, starting with verse 14. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. Okay, this is a parable describing the kingdom of God and what Jesus has done. He gave gifts of value to his trusted servants, and then he went on his journey. The one man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once, put his money to work, and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Listen to this now. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. Did you hear that? Jesus will be gone from the time of his departure that we saw in Acts 1 a long time. We can give you an idea on the calendar when he ascended into heaven. Somewhere around 33, the year 33. And how many of you know where we are today? Rapidly approaching 2024. Oh my goodness. 2024. 50-year graduation celebration from Bible school. 50 years ago. And guess what I had waiting for me when I got home? A box with a yearbook for the class of 74 from Faith School. Like it was brand spanking new, reserved just for it. And I got to see this young looking girl who I fell in love with back then, who's still with me. And I got to confess to you, she looks like she's gotten a whole lot better treatment than I have. I mean miles. The miles have been rough on me. They've not been near as rough. That didn't come out like I wanted it. What I'm trying to say is that if you saw a picture of me back then and didn't know who it was me, you wouldn't recognize me. You could see her, and every one of you would recognize her from those pictures. Sparkle in her eye, beautiful, beautiful woman. But 50 years ago, we went to Bible school together. Does it seem that long ago, Nita? You were there with us too. I didn't want to remind you that, but 50 years ago, we spent those times together. He's been gone a long time. But he is coming back. The guarantee is when he said, I'm going, we were guaranteed that he would come back. He has been gone, but he will return. And what's his destination? Where did he go? And what's all this going and coming about? In verse 2, it makes it really clear that he was going to Father's house. Hallelujah. This verse actually mentions 3 places. If you look at verse 2, it mentions Father's house. It mentions many mansions. And then it also mentions a place for you. I want you to think about that. Father's house. Talking about the place where God lives. It didn't give an address location, but it did say he's going to Father's house. In other words, he had confidence that in his going, he was going to get there to a real place. He expected Father's house to be a real place. And then mansions. Some think that this is actually saying that Father's house is an extravagant mansion with many rooms to live in. Another real place that he was talking about. And then he said, I go to get ready a place for you. Well, if Father's house is a real place, and if the manny-room mansion's a real place, then the place he's preparing for us has to be a real place. So we're not talking about something that's the figment of someone's imagination. This is not the world of make-believe. This is not something that Disney produced. There's a real place in heaven, God's dwelling place, that he's getting ready for us. Hallelujah. And his destination will be ours. Jesus promised that he would go, and he did. He promised that he would come again, and he will. He promised to prepare a place for us, and he is. And then let's look at verse 3 and see this final determination. This passage is a little bit difficult to follow, so I've taken a little bit of liberty here with the scripture. I believe I'm still being true to the intention of what Jesus was saying when I give you this Mike Hood's paraphrase. Here's what I believe verse 3 is telling us. And you can study it for yourself and see, and I think you could easily come to the same conclusions I did. I'm going away to make ready a place for you, a real place. After I have made that place ready for you, I will return to take you there to be with me, face to face with me, so that you will always be right where I am. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see what's going on? I can wait as long as I have to for him to come, because I'm confident that when he comes, he's taking me to that place that he's readied for me, and I will be there in face-to-face fellowship and relationship with him. And whenever I look around, I have the confidence that that will never change forever and ever. Because it's not my temporary home, it's my eternal one. This is only our temporary place. The address that we have here is going to be changed. And we're going to get an address change notification one of these days when the trumpet sounds. And we'll be caught up here and caught to a real place. Can you say amen? Not a figment of someone's imagination. Not just pie in the sky. A real place called heaven. And as some singers, modern singers sing it, some call it heaven, I'll call it home. It'll be our eternal dwelling place. Jesus will be there forever and ever and ever. That's why he says, don't let your heart be troubled. Amen. This is not going to go on forever. All the bad news that you're hearing is one day going to disappear, because I'm going to take you home and call you out of here. From this passage of scripture, it becomes very apparent that there's two questions we need answers for. Number one, Jesus, where are you going? And the answer is simple. It's there in the scripture. To my Father's house, to an extravagant house with many rooms, one of which is being prepared and made ready for you. Question number two, Jesus, how do we get there? In verse 6, Jesus answered with three I ams. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. The I am started back in Exodus chapter 13, verses 13 and 14. It's when Moses had the burning bush experience, where God singled out his life and said, Moses, I am going to use you to deliver my people Israel. And Moses responded to the voice of God, and he said, God, who am I going to tell when I go there that sent me? And God spoke a powerful word. I am. Tell them I am hath sent you. Tell them I am that I am. And there we got the first glimpse into this Hebrew word, E-H-Y-E-H. I tried to find this out in my studies. I couldn't guarantee it and certify it, but I believe that this is a shortened expression of a Hebrew name of God. You see, the Hebrews viewed the name of God to be holy, and they were very careful to say the name of God. To them, it wasn't a swear word. It wasn't something we said as just an off-the-cuff expression. I think it was a shortened expression. What I am really was saying is, tell them the self-existent, self-determining, eternal God is sending you. Hallelujah. So here's what Jesus was saying. I am the way. I am the self self-existent, self-determining, eternal God, and I am the way, the only way that you can get to the Father's house. I'm the only way that you can get to that many-room mansion. I'm the only way that you can get to the place that I've prepared for you. He was pretty exclusive in what he said. I am not one of many ways. I am the only. Amen. Jesus, Son of God, equal to the Father, is telling us that if you want to get to that heavenly place prepared for you, you've got to go through Jesus. And then in verse 6, he emphatically stated, no one comes to the Father but by me. No one, no one, absolutely no one. If anyone gets to heaven into Father's house, they get there through Jesus Christ. They're not going to find their way through any other religious expression from any other religious figure except through Jesus Christ. The Pope is not the way to Jesus in the Father's house. Buddha is not the way to Jesus in the Father's house. Muhammad is not the way to Jesus in the Father's house. Jesus is the only one. So let me restate that to you to make it really clear. If anyone wants to go to the place in Father's house prepared for them by Jesus, they must get their reservation in hand from Jesus, not from anybody else. Just coming to church is not going to get your reservation stamped. It requires more than that. Amen? You won't become a Christian just by coming to church, no more than your car would become a Cadillac by going inside the Cadillac dealer's showroom. Just not going to happen. Wishful thinking. I mean, if you want a Harley, you can't get a Harley by going and spending time in the Harley-Davidson showroom. You'll never turn into a Harley, trust me. And coming to church, although it's good for you, it's not going to make you a Christian or stamp your ticket through to heaven. A relationship with Jesus Christ is the only way to get it. And this is something that I felt just an urgency and an importance. I'm glad that you attend here. I'm glad that you keep coming, and I hope you will keep coming. But more than that, I want to make sure that you have an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ and all that he has done for you with his life, his death on the cross, his resurrection. Amen. He's provided salvation and forgiveness of sins for you. And he is the only one that can get you ready for heaven. So faith in Jesus and what he did through his death and resurrection is the only way for you to find forgiveness of sin. This makes you a recipient of his grace. That grace, not your good deeds or the good things you've given or the money you've given to good causes, the grace of God is the only thing that punches your boarding pass to heaven as your eternal destination. So in closing, listen to this announcement coming over the airwaves. Attention, anyone going to Father's house. Grace Rapture Airlines will be boarding shortly for immediate departure. Please make sure you have your boarding pass in your hand. You will be boarding shortly at the Grace Gate. That applies for me. That applies for you. Amen. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, speak to us this morning, I pray. If there's been anyone here in the sounding of my voice who has never taken the step to trust Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross as the only thing that can forgive our sins and prepare us to live with him forever in heaven. If they haven't done that, Lord, I pray that you'd speak to them today and urge them that this is their time. Don't miss this opportunity. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you're here like that today, and you've never taken that step of faith to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin, to accept him as Savior and Lord, supreme master of your life, I'm giving you an opportunity to do that this morning. So that if the boarding call comes out before we gather together again, you're ready to go to the grace gate and meet him there. Is there anyone like that at all? I want to give you that chance. I want to give you that chance. I'd be very uncomfortable leaving here thinking that someone never accepted Christ and I never gave him a chance. I'm giving you that opportunity right now. If you're here like that and you'd like to accept Christ, I'll tell you something. He can change your life. As you're thinking about that for a moment, while I was back there in New York, I had a few hours to spend, and a thought hit me. I believe it was the Spirit of God. Go stop by and see if you can find one of your old friends that you haven't seen for 50 years. So I went by to where Danny McKernan used to live. Danny McKernan didn't live there anymore. But a young woman who was there says, I know where his sister lives. She lives right in that house across the street. So I had made one young woman uncomfortable showing up unknown. So I said, I might as well go the rest of the way. Knocked on her door. This young woman comes. And I said, I'm looking for Danny McKernan. She said, who are you? And I said, I'm Mike Hood. And she said, oh, yeah, I know. You're Roger's brother. Yeah? Roger's my youngest brother. She knew him from school. She didn't know me. She said, Danny lives right over there. So now I've made, well, I stopped at another one. So I've made three women uncomfortable showing up at their door, knocking at their door. Had no clue who I was. So I went over to Danny's house, knocked on his door. His wife showed up. She opened the door and she looked like she'd seen a ghost. And I says, does Danny McKernan live here? Who are you? And I said, I'm Mike Hood. She said, let me go see. All of a sudden, Danny comes walking out. I recognize him immediately. He looks at me and says, you look like someone I went to school with. He hadn't seen me in 50 years. And I was able, before I left there, to share with him, Danny, when I gave my heart to Christ at that little prayer meeting, after which I never came back to the parties, it was something that I had to do. But can I tell you something about what I did back there 50 years ago? It's still working in my life today. And Danny, can I tell you something else? He was really comfortable to see me, but now he's getting really uncomfortable. And I said, Danny, there's been times in this 50 years that I followed Jesus that he's carried me along, that he's kept me. And the same thing is available for you. Amen. You see, we don't come, everyone, to a different experience. We may come a different way and from a different path, but we come into the saving grace of God. And that is available for everyone who will invite Jesus into their hearts and lives. One last chance. If that's what you need to do, I want to give you the chance to raise your hand. I'd love to pray with you. Amen. Father, take the word that I've preached and let it work powerfully in the hearts and lives of those who are here. I don't believe you ever waste the message that you give me, that there's someone here that needed to hear this. And I pray that this truth that I've shared would be powerfully at work in their hearts and lives, that this would be the message where the Holy Spirit's like the hound dog of heaven that just prods them and goes after them and won't let them get away from this truth because you love them and you don't want them to perish in their sins. You want them to find forgiveness and end up one day in heaven with you. So do your work. For those of us that have trusted you for many years, I pray that you'd strengthen us in our faith. Lord, let our faith be confirmed on a daily basis, and let our faith be renewed and strengthened so that we understand it's going to carry us through all the way to the other side. For those who are here today and they've been troubled by the events going on around them, help them to understand that they can trust in you, Lord. And you're going to see them through. That everything you promised, you're going to do. And that one day soon, we're going to be out of here. And the grace of God will keep us until that event comes. So dismiss us now with the reality of that truth, refreshed in our hearts and minds. And as we go our separate ways, make us a blessing to someone along the way that needs words of hope and encouragement because they're living in a very troubled world. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen.